everybody.
Hello.
Hi, it's Michelle.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good evening. I don't know where everybody is today.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm calling in from Canada, and I'm calling the number I usually use for the U.S., so just let me know if it's a little spotty or if you have a hard time hearing me. Okay?
Okay.
Before we get started, if anybody has any sort of background noise, if you can just put yourself on mute, it's always amplified on the call. Oftentimes, it tends to be an international number that's through a Skype call for some reason. That always tends to be the numbers that create feedback. So if you're like in a car and you're beeping, or even if you're home and you're washing dishes, it's a little amplified. So just stick yourself on mute, and then you can always put yourself on. I run the call so that everybody has an open line. So if you have any questions or you need me to slow down or repeat something, I'm happy to. If we can't figure out who's making any noise if it's on the call, I would have to just mute you through this little computer screen I have up, and then we'll try and figure out who you are first. Okay? Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
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 Okay.
Yep. Yep. Yes.
So, yes. Hi. I know it's a little tricky on these group calls because it looks like there's probably about 15 people or so on this call. But if you just want to say your name and generally where you're calling from and, you know, what challenge you're on for this week, then we can all maybe get to know each other's voices.
Hey, this is Katya. I'm from North Carolina, and I am on the Bodily Sensations Challenge.
Hey, Katya. How's it going?
Hi, Katya.
Good.
Hi, I'm Lynn Williams, and I'm in Vermont, and I'm on the Intrusive Thoughts.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Laura. I'm in London, and I'm on the Bodily Sensations Challenge.
Hi, Laura, is that right?
Yes.
Let me just try and.
Let's watch this line.
Trying to figure this out the whole.
Okay,
no. Is anybody on the call with that's talking in the background?
No.
Not here.
Not here.
Not here.
Not
here.
All right, it seems better. We'll figure this out. Okay, so who else is on? Yeah, there's a lot of people here today, 20 people.
Dexter Davidson, and I'm on driving anxiety. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Dexter. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm
Deborah.
Who is that?
It's Abigail.
Abigail?
From Ireland.
Hi.
Hi, I'm from social anxiety.
Social? You said social anxiety?
Yeah.
Great, okay. Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle. It's Colleen.
Hey, Colleen.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm doing the Bodily Sensations also.
Okay. Got some of my oldies.
Yeah.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
I'm Tina from Massachusetts.
Tina?
And I'm doing Bodily... Yes, and I'm doing Bodily Sensations also.
Hi. A lot of Bodily Sensations.
Hello.
Hi, this is Ahmed from Chicago, and I'm doing Intrusive Thoughts.
Ahmed, is that right?
That's right, yes.
Hi.
Hi, this is Damon. I'm doing Intrusive Thoughts. I'm in St. George, Utah.
Okay, hi, Damon.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Michael. I'm from the UK, and I'm doing the Intrusive Thoughts course as well.
Thoughts, okay. Hi, Michael.
Hi, my name is Ken. I'm from New York, and I'm doing dissertation anxiety.
Perfect. Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Should we get everybody? Move as fast as we can. Just figure out where that noise is coming from. I think it's some anonymous web call. Let me see here. Might be on... Might have fixed this. Sorry, it's my computer's on a bit of a delay because I'm not where I usually am. Okay. I just muted somebody who's calling in through a web call, but their name is under anonymous, so I can't even tell where you're from. So just to let you know, if you start talking and it sounds like we're all ignoring you, just hang up and call back in. It might be the line. I had somebody once say, they said, I have social anxiety. I'm always concerned that if I talk, nobody's going to listen to a thing I say. And then I muted them, which, you know, so they had to call back in. So anyway, so this call will run approximately an hour, so it should be ending around 1 p.m. Eastern time. And you'll see, it sounds like there's been a lot of people who have signed up for intrusive thoughts and a lot of people have signed up for physical sensations, and then a few other things. You'll see, I know you might think it's odd that you kind of have it catered specifically towards you for the week, but then everybody comes together on the same group call. And you'll see by the end of this call that it kind of doesn't matter what challenge you signed up for, especially my older people who maybe have come through another version of this program. You're going to see, I'm going to say the same thing no matter what you sign up for, and there's a reason for that. But anyway, my name is Michelle. I don't know if you've heard any of my recordings or heard me at all. Some of you have heard me probably more than you've wanted to, boys. But I am... I have been running Barry's coaching program since he started it in 2009, about 10 years ago. So it's come through different versions. We have all different versions of coaching and support and things like that. So this DARE Challenge program is a little bit new. He's been running some version of like a boot camp program for a while now where you kind of just get like a short-term but intensive week or 2 weeks of just like, you know, really kind of keeping it this in the forefront of your mind. And some of the feedback we had gotten on the boot camp calls was that, oh, well, this one-day challenge was about driving, and I don't care about driving. I care about thoughts, and I didn't feel like it pertained to me, which is why he just sort of adjusted it to be more applicable to, like, the words you want to hear every day for this week. Even though, as you see on these calls, you'll see by the end of this call that it's kind of all the same thing anyway, it's nice to hear the recording based on exactly what you're signing up for. Okay? Sorry to get my dog just walked in here. I'll close the door. My dog likes to, my dog knows when my phone calls start. Okay. So again, so everybody's on this challenge week for a different reason. And you'll see, like, again, it really doesn't matter what the reason is. So a little apology ahead of time for the old-timers. You'll hear me on repeat a lot. But remember, there's, like, a reason for the repeat to show that, like, you're not going to hear anything completely different because it's always the same approach. It's just kind of maybe a matter of, like, retuning that approach. So if you guys could give me a few minutes, I'm going to give you just a little background of basic information that, again, if you've been on a call with me before, you've probably heard it, but it doesn't hurt to hear it again. Just basically about what is happening and why it's happening and why we can all be on the call together because it all is sort of the same thing. All right? So I want to make sure everybody can hear me okay because I ran a call like this once and I muted myself for 20 minutes and gave my whole presentation on silence. So everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And actually, before we get started, anybody having any technical problems or trouble accessing any of the information?
Mm-hmm.
No?
No.
Okay, good. John is our support person, and he usually listens in the first minute or so just to hear that, to see if anybody's having trouble accessing anything. So I always try and ask that first. Okay, so... So what I like to talk about when I first talk to somebody brand new is about our alarm system and how it works. I know everybody's come through school and you hear about all the different systems in your body. My daughter's starting middle school, so she did her circulatory system and her digestive system. And last year I had to sign a permission slip, so they kind of learn about their reproductive system. And, for the most part, all of our systems basically work the same way. Some of ours get a little glitchy, sometimes, some people have things that go on with their digestive system or something happens and our respiratory system gets a little messed up. But for the most part, we all kind of work the same way. So we also have an alarm system, our built-in alarm system, which kind of stinks that nobody ever talks about it in school because it's a normal thing. It's something we all have and probably something everybody on this call is very familiar with, that fight-or-flight response. It's basically the simplest system in our body. It is designed to keep us alive for as long as possible by alerting us when there's danger. And as long as there is danger, it will continue to send us this energy to keep us in a heightened state until the danger has passed so we can survive. It is like our basic survival instinct. Very simple. I don't need to get into the whole, you know, sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system and amygdala and how it works. I know people like to know that, but we don't have to know that when it comes to this and when it comes to there. So basically, in a nutshell, when we really did have to survive all day long, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, we had to find food, we had to find shelter, we needed that alarm to basically ring all the time. We were in survival mode. You know, we had to find the berries and hunt animals and be safe from danger. So if we wake up and there's a wild animal there, we don't stop and think about it. We don't have to ask our bodies to do something. It jumps into action without us asking for it, right? It's a reaction. So our body reacts and by sending us all of this energy, adrenaline. And that energy is designed to be uncomfortable because it's designed to get you to jump up and do something. By do something, it would either be fight the tiger or flee from the tiger or freeze so the tiger doesn't see you. But it's basically all about staying alive. So once that danger has passed, if as long as you're still fighting, your alarm is checking in and seeing, well, he's still fighting. So, you know, here's some adrenaline that lasts a good 10, 15 minutes or so, 5, 10 minutes. If he's still fighting, we're going to send him more because we don't want to die. We want to stay alive. So as long as you keep fighting, it's going to keep ringing, right? So even if you're running, you want as much energy as possible to get away from that danger. And then once you've slayed the tiger or once you've gotten free and once the danger is gone, we do this. Done. We survived. We made it. So we let go, right? No more fight. No more fleeing. And our alarm checks in and notices what we're doing. And if based on our reaction, our response to what the situation is, oh, she's not fighting anymore. We can tell by what she's doing. She's just laying there. Problem is over, right? Let's wind it down. And our alarm winds itself down until the next thing that pops up, right? Until another tiger comes or something that's kind of like a tiger. Like, oh, hey, there's some other animal that kind of looks like a tiger. There's a lion that reminds me of this thing. Well, no. So we're not sure. Here's energy for this. And based on what you do, kind of sets the scene for the next time. So there's a good chance if you're fighting all these things, like when it works perfectly in sync, we're fighting real danger, right? Our alarm helps us fight until the danger is over, right? We've exited the burning building. We're sitting on the grass on the side of the hill next to the building. We made it. Our alarm winds itself down. So in a perfect world, when it's working perfectly, that's how it works, and that's how it's designed. And we all have this system. We have a very good system. Like the people who didn't have it work well got eaten by all the tigers, and they didn't make it to here. You know, so all the generations of us before survived. So our systems work really well. Comes to this phone call, our systems work really, really well. We are now fighting the next best thing. Because nobody is in actual danger right now. Because if you are, you're on the wrong call. You should be calling 911 or 0, wherever you are, where emergency services is, you would be in real danger. And you would actually be dealing with the real situation. I'm just assuming, right? Nobody's got a tiger in the room and they're like, oh, I thought Derek could help me. this is a call about anxiety. So where we get stuck is we don't fight actual danger. We fight the next best thing. We have very creative brains, and we start fighting ideas of danger or feelings of danger, or even if it's high discomfort. We fight discomfort. We fight how we feel. We fight thoughts we don't like. We fight things in our body we don't like. We fight ideas of situations of danger, not actual danger, right? But what if there's danger? Okay, I'm driving and I'm okay, but what if I'm not? And then we start to fight that. Does this ring true with people? Anybody disagree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, true.
So because we are just normal people, we will have things in our bodies that we don't like how they feel. We will have thoughts in our brains that we don't like what they are. And we don't like the ideas of them. And we don't want those things to happen. Nobody ever comes on a call and talks to me about intrusive positive thoughts, right? It's always intrusive shitty thoughts. Like, oh, I can't stop thinking about winning the lottery. It's always, oh, I can't stop thinking about, like, terrible things or dying or violence or, you know, like, whatever, the things that I don't like. We call them intrusive because we're trying to get rid of them. And the more we try and get rid of something, the more our alarm rings to help us get rid of things. So as long as we keep fighting, it keeps ringing. It keeps ringing because we keep fighting. And that's the loop that's so easy to get stuck in because but it's not gone yet. But as long as I can get rid of these thoughts, I'll be fine. Just tell me what to do to get rid of these thoughts or to not be afraid of these thoughts or to be able to drive fearless on the highway or so that I just don't want these physical sensations to bother me anymore. So if that's the goal, it's subtle, but it's resistance. Anxiety is not in the discomfort, and which is why, again, so it kind of brings back to the very beginning of the call, I have people calling in from all over the world with all kinds of discomfort. Maybe it's being uncomfortable in a particular situation, like driving or an elevator or being outdoors or being indoors, right? It doesn't matter. If it's a thought we don't like, if it's physical sensations we don't like, if it's ideas of the past we don't like, ideas of the future we don't like, we're all fighting them. We're trying to control them. We're trying to get rid of them. We're trying to make ourselves feel better. That's where anxiety lives. And anybody who knows me, you've heard me say it a million times. It's not in the discomfort. It's in the fight of discomfort. That's where DARE is used. DARE is not designed to directly alleviate discomfort, even though that's probably what you think you signed up for. And you're like, what the hell did I just drop $100 for this woman tell me I'm supposed to feel uncomfortable? Our problem is when we try and fight discomfort as if it's danger. So as long as we fight it, our alarm thinks it's a tiger. So it will keep helping us fight it as long as we keep fighting. So we are all fighting basically different kinds of discomfort. Does that make sense? Anybody have any questions before I keep going?
That makes sense.
That makes sense? Okay.
Yes.
All right, good. Anybody else have any question about that? I know some people have been through a lot of other programs or therapists, and you hear like a lot of techniques to calm down and go to your happy place and take deep breaths. But with DARE, it's honestly like the opposite approach. Diffuse, allow, run towards, engage. It's learning how to not fight the discomfort. So it's actually learning how to just let yourself not like how you feel in a very simplified nutshell. Because as long as we keep fighting, we basically keep telling our alarm, this thing is dangerous, even though it's just uncomfortable. I often reference like the smoke detectors in your home. That's kind of like my go-to analogy. If you think about the smoke alarm in your house, it doesn't even know when it's an emergency. It doesn't know. It's just a device you get from the hardware store. You know, there's a little sensor on it, and when it's triggered, it makes sound. So it could be triggered from a real emergency, right? Your house could be burning down to the ground, and the smoke makes your alarm ring. Or you could have just burned dinner in the oven, and the smoke makes your alarm ring, right? It's the same ring. It rings the same way when there's real danger versus not real danger. So it's kind of keeping that in mind, where at this point now, if you're on this call right now, it's because you've burnt cookies in the oven. There's no fire in your house. There may have been one once before, and we can have ideas of what if there's a fire in my house. But right now, your alarm rings the same way when we fight discomfort as when we fight real danger. And that's why we can't turn off our alarm system. We're not supposed to, because when there is real danger, it needs to ring, right? When a car is coming towards you, kind of drifts into your lane, you need that reaction to move your car over, right, to get into the other lane. So we can't, it's not about turning it off. It's about letting go of the fight of it ringing. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So to me, it always comes down to control and vulnerability. And usually most people like kind of nod along. Like when you feel like you're experiencing something that you're not 100% in control of, or you can't get rid of it easily, or you're in a situation where you're not 100% in control of like being able to leave or fix the situation, or you're feeling vulnerable, that tends to ring our alarm, because we tend to kind of hang on and fight during those situations. Right? Like, oh, I can drive. As long as I'm driving 20 miles an hour in the right-hand lane. But if I'm driving 30 miles an hour in the middle lane, well, I can't just stop quickly. What if I had to get out of the car, right? What if something happened? Oh, I'm having a weird feeling in my body, and there's no reason for it. Something must be wrong. I better do something about this. You know, oh, I'm having a thought out of nowhere that I don't like at all. Uh-oh, better get rid of it. I don't, does that sound familiar to anybody? Any of those situations?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so then that's normal. That means you're normal, because when we have things we don't like, we get rid of them, right? That's just not rocket science. It's like, oh, there's like a stick in my arm. I'm going to take the stick out of my arm because it hurts, and I don't want sticks in my arm. It hurts, right? So let's get comfortable. I don't want to accept and allow a stick in my arm. That's nonsense. So, but we when we fight things that aren't actual danger, it kind of gets things a little messed up. What really happens is we're not actually getting rid of the discomfort, because we have no control over that anyway. If you're feeling uncomfortable, guess what? You're already feeling uncomfortable. So you can't dare away a feeling that you have. You had a thought you don't like. All that happens is when we fight something, is we basically tell our alarm, that's important because that's dangerous. So what we have to do is pay really close attention to that thought, sensation, emotion, situation, whatever it is. Pay really close attention to it, because every time I feel that or have that or think that, you need to send me a bunch of adrenaline so I can fight it. And so that's probably why the thought you're trying to get rid of is the thought you can't freaking stop thinking about, right? The sensation you're trying to get rid of is the sensation that's constantly up on your radar. Does that sound about right?
Yep.
Yep.
Very.
Yeah, true.
What we're really doing when we fight, trying to fight, oh, God, there's that thought. Oh, there's that feeling. Oh, there's that. Even if it's an emotion, if it's sadness, if it's anger, we fight all the stuff that we don't like. So that's why we think, oh, anxiety is in the stuff we don't like. Wrong. Anxiety is in the fight of the stuff we don't like. The stuff we don't like, we're never going to like. So I'm not going to convince you like, oh, I love these intrusive thoughts of, you know, I don't know, murdering my family or whatever the heck it is. Oh, I like that idea now. Oh, that's great. Oh, I like the idea of like getting really sick or having anxiety for the rest of my life. All the stuff that's always, you know, pops up on these conversations. You're never going to like that stuff. You're never going to like nausea or dizziness or heart palpitations. And it's not about turning off fear either. I know people are trying to use DARE, and they're working really hard to not be afraid. But all we're doing is fighting being afraid. Okay, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And we're tensed up and we're fighting. So every time we're afraid, our alarm rings more because we're fighting fear. You see? So honestly, in a nutshell, and I've been saying this maybe the last 4 or 5 months, it's truly all of DARE, all of these programs, all of these challenges and boot camp and DARE Advanced and the apps, and it's not like you need to sign up for everything to find the right answer so it goes away. It's actually teaching people that are not good at doing nothing how to do nothing. And I say that because I tend to get people that are the most stuck are the people that are really good at doing things. So I know I haven't actually really spoken much to anybody on the call just yet. I haven't heard much from anybody, but let me know if this maybe describes some of you. Get very strong people, like strong fighters. I get the doers. I get go-getters, very smart, bright, logical-minded people, driven, determined, people like to be in control, like people that major CEOs, major corporations have come through here, type A personalities, multitaskers, leaders, problem solvers. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Michelle from New York, who I don't know from a hole in the wall, but if you tell me to do this, if I know this will get rid of my anxiety, I'm going to do it 137%. Right? Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I get very black and white thinkers. It's all or nothing. I've done it perfect or I'm a failure. I feel fine or, oh, I think I'm going to die. Or, oh, I'm going to go crazy. Like all or nothing. Very creative brains, very visual thinkers. You can almost see like the thoughts in your mind and then like you respond, your body responds accordingly as if it's really happening. I don't know. Any of that sound familiar to anybody?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
So, and that's why, like, I don't tell, like, you see, like, all those memes on Facebook, like, oh, the strongest people are the ones with anxiety. And it seems like a cheerleader thing, like, oh, yay, oh, we're so strong. It's actually true. Because you're so strong, you're fighting so hard to get rid of these things that nobody tells you anxiety is in the fight of those things. So the more you fight, the more area you create of resistance, and anxiety is in the resistance. So that's why the strongest people are the most stuck, because you really are strong and you really are fighting, because eventually people just give up and let go. And once you let go, you let your alarm wind itself down. Just like the smoke alarm reference I made before, we don't turn it off. Once the smoke dies down, the alarm turns itself off, regardless of where the smoke came from, whether it was real danger or not real danger, whether it was real fire or cookies in the oven. Once the smoke dies down, the alarm turns itself off. If you are working really hard to turn off your alarm system, you are fighting your own alarm system. Not going to work. So it's learning how to let go. Like our smoke for us is our resistance. So just let go. This whole approach is teaching you how to do nothing. Like truly just do nothing and let yourself just be uncomfortable. And it can be as comfortable as it wants, but you want to start showing yourself that despite how uncomfortable I feel, despite how much I don't like this situation, despite how much I don't like this thought, or for whatever other challenge you signed up for, I'm showing you by my response that there's no fight. And lately, and my older people on the call can attest to this, I've been saying, like, the whole, like, all of dare, diffuse, allow, run towards, engage, is basically giving the stuff you don't like, you look at it, you give it a nod, and you just sort of give it a shrug, and then you engage back in life. That's dare. Dare is designed to let go of the fight of discomfort, not to feel better, because you've already tried to feel better, right? It didn't work? That's why you're here, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Yep.
It's right, such yeah. a paradox. It's so counterintuitive, and sometimes it doesn't fully click until afterwards, and sometimes, like, if you had bought the book, you can go back and read it again, and you're like, oh, I see. And then, like, a lot of people will, oh, yeah, but let me tell you about this sensation. And it'll be 10 minutes about this one particular sensation and how it feels and how it reminds me of this time when I was 5. And I'm going to project it into the future. And what if I feel it in these other situations? I don't know. That's normally the gist of, like, what I would hear. And then it's, like, it's learning how to, like, nod at those thoughts and those sensations, saying, yes, that's right. That's how I feel. And my response is truly just learning how to do nothing. And dare, diffuse, allow, run towards, engage, on force are basically, if somebody doesn't know how to do nothing, those would be four steps on how to do nothing. Diffuse, allow, run towards, and engage. Basically saying, I can't control these thoughts and sensations. Can't. And I get to let go of this idea that I can. Because if I could, again, I would not be on this call. I would be magically, mentally controlling every uncomfortable sensation I ever have and eliminating them. But that's not possible. I can learn how to diffuse the idea that I'm feeling a feeling that I don't like. Diffuse. Just is a big diffusing word. It really is just something. We are very creative when we describe it. Like, we're really good at making it sound really scary and really awful, right? I'm not having heart. Oh, my heart rate isn't up. It's like, what do we usually say? My heart is beating out of my chest, right? It's always like as exaggerated as possible because that's how it feels. Can anybody on this call describe anxiety without the word feel?
No.
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 No? It's funny when you think about that, right? It's always like, oh, but it feels like a tiger, right? But it feels like danger. It feels like this. I feel like I'm dying. It feels this. Oh, it feels so uncomfortable. Or like, even like the what ifs, it feels scary. So we fight them. So it's not about how we feel. It's about learning how to not fight how we feel. And as we allow discomfort, we start to get stronger. Like going to the gym. The gym itself does not feel comfortable. When we go to the gym, we feel uncomfortable. But for some reason, people pay a lot of money, and they go to the gym, and they never, one day I'm just going to go to the gym, and it's going to feel great. No, that's not the point of the gym. The point of the gym is to go and get stronger. Right?
New things in like 5 minutes.
So, like, let's say when you first start exercising, you first start going to the gym, you lift very small weights, and they feel very heavy. They feel very, you know, hard to lift up. Then you feel sore. Like, oh, maybe the gym doesn't work for my kind of body. Like, maybe dare doesn't work for my kind of anxiety. I don't know if anybody on the call has that thought, too. My anxiety is different than other people's because, or I might be a special case because, or have you ever worked with my kind of anxiety before, Michelle? Have you ever heard of this? I've never said no. I have never said, no, that's weird. No, that's totally different. Ever. So it's basically going and using these techniques and going to the gym. So eventually, after a few weeks, you pick up those same weights, those 5 pound weights you started with. So they feel so light, right? They're easy. The weights did not change. The weight, 5 pounds is 5 pounds. The weights feel lighter because you got stronger. So if you're talking about sensations and thoughts, the things you're fighting against the most, that's your machine at the gym. That's what you're going to spend the most time with because that's what you're fighting against the most. So it's like, oh, but this is so hard. Right, because you've kept this feeling so far away from you. So you need to, again, sounds backwards, but spend more time with those thoughts and sensations and feelings, but in a different way, in like acceptance and allowance without the fight. So basically, the goal for everybody on this call is learning how to sit and do nothing and experience discomfort, even though you think you signed up to feel better. You will end up weirdly, feeling better as a byproduct of eventually not fighting how you feel and not caring about that. And that might not make sense right now, but it will start to make sense as you move forward. Does anybody have any questions about that? That's just kind of like the little 20, 25-minute spiel I give everybody when they first start, just to show, like, so everybody hears things for me, and anybody who's heard me before has probably heard me say it many, many times in pretty similar ways. But does that make sense? Does that click any differently, or is this something you've already heard before?
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Okay. Anybody have any questions about that?
So it makes sense to me, but it's such a different model than what I've done my whole life that I'm just wondering, like, how do you not work really hard to, like, incorporate this new way of doing it?
Well, like, that's what it is. It's like you have to learn how to work really hard at doing nothing. You know, kind of like mindfulness, like just learning how to just be in the moment. And, like, I'll tell people to switch more to, like, a hunter mindset rather than the hunted, because I tend to get, you know, because, again, we don't like to feel uncomfortable, so we try really hard not to. So I have people that avoid doing certain things because, oh, I don't like that road, I'll take this road. Or I'll go this speed limit, not this speed limit. Or, like, okay, I can feel this feeling but in this place but not in this place. So you kind of want to be the hunter, kind of like going to the gym, like expecting discomfort, both going out and seeking it so you can practice having it come, but with kind of like that passive response, the nod, the shrug, yep, that's why I'm here. I'm here to feel uncomfortable so that my alarm can ring. Mm-hmm. I can say, okay, thanks. It really is my protector. It really is. It's kind of like anytime you fight something, you basically shine the bat signal. And here it comes. Oh, here I are. Here to help. And then it's the only way it can help you is just by sending you energy to keep fighting. You know, keep fighting because you keep bringing. It keeps bringing because you keep fighting. So every time you fight, you ask it for help. And anytime it sees a situation where you fought the last 14,000 times you were there or the 14,000 times you've had that thought or that feeling, it's going to ring because it's like, oh, something happened here once before. I have a memory of this being dangerous. You know, I once clipped my daughter's bike helmet under her neck. You know, I clipped her helmet on and I got her skin stuck, you know, in that little clip. Oh, it's so awful. She was so little and she's screaming and I'm freaking out. I'm like sweating. I unclip it. She was very little. She was like 3. And ever since then, her body, and I have 3 children. And ever since then, when I would help her put her helmet on, then like a couple years later, you would see her, she would tense up. She would flinch. Like just waiting, because she did get hurt once before. My other 2 kids, I tell them, stop moving. Stop moving. I'm going to get your neck stuck. I got Emily's neck stuck. I'm going to get your neck stuck. Like, they don't want that to happen, but they don't have the same reaction as my oldest daughter because it actually happened to her, you know? So her body's doing what it's supposed to do. Oh, something happened last time with this. It's kind of like reaction versus response. I think most of us get stuck trying to control our initial reactions and trying to make sure it never happens again and make sure we never feel all these feelings ever. And when it does, oh, we've had a setback. Oh, I've gone backwards. Oh, I'm never going to get this. And it's mostly just saying, oh, well, like a shrug. Oh, well, that was my reaction. But I always get to choose what my response is. My reaction is automatic. My response is like what I consciously choose to do. And that's why engage is really important. It's always at the end of dare. Because you always get to choose what you do. You can't choose how you feel. You can't choose what your spontaneous thoughts are. You can't choose your feelings. But you can choose what you do with all of those things. Not with a condition attached. Not, okay, I'm going to accept and allow for 1 week, this 1 week dare challenge, as long as it's gone. So I'm going to keep checking in to make sure it's gone. If you're checking in to look for a thought or a sensation, then check in a different way. Check in and go find it and give it a nod and say, yep, that's right, I do feel that. Or you might not. You might check in and not find anything. That's fine, too. Discomfort, the elimination of discomfort is not, you can't mark progress based on feeling more comfortable, even though you think you would. You mark your progress based on how many times you've allowed yourself to not fight all the times you did feel uncomfortable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. I keep criticizing myself for still feeling uncomfortable, and then I feel defeated.
Right, which is so common. Anybody else do the same thing?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Every day, all day.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, all or nothing, right? like, oh, I call it shoulding all over yourself. I should be better at this. Oh, I should have gotten this by now. Oh, everybody else is going to get this but me. Oh, look at all these people that are doing so well. Oh, why can't I just do this one stupid little thing? Why is it so hard for me? And we compare ourselves to everybody else. But you see, what you're really doing, you're just taking things that are already happening in your body and fighting them. So it's like, it's so powerful. I promise I would never be doing this for 10 years, the same approach for the same thing, if I didn't see it work. Never. I would absolutely be doing something else. So why in the world would I keep doing this? it's so nice to, because you see, it's like, once you just let go, people are very critical of themselves, right? We're our own worst enemies, our own worst critics. We are so judgmental, so much more harsh with expectations of ourselves than with anybody else.
Yeah.
So, which is why I've run group calls for 10 years, and I've worked in all other places before there. I've worked in hospitals. I've worked in, like, residential treatment centers. I've worked all over the place. In a school, and like every once in a while, you know, conflict of personalities, there's arguments or disagreements or problems in groups. Never on these calls, because we're too busy fighting ourselves. Nobody argues with anybody else. And I get people that are very empathetic towards others. Oh, I left off one key point. I get people that tend to get the most stuck are the ones that are the most, like, way more aware and tuned in to themselves than maybe other people, way more aware of your thoughts, way more aware of your, like, your feelings, even like changes in the environment, like very tuned into other people's feelings, like very empathetic.
The
weather, yep, absolutely. Like, or you can just kind of feel when there's a problem, like usually like holiday time and the families are together, you can almost feel it before it happens. Like, we're just more aware and tuned in, which is fine in and of itself. But because we see, like, maybe 100 shades of green when other people see 20 shades of green, we just tend to find more shades we don't like. So we fight those shades.
Mm-hmm.
So can I ask a question? Supposing that you have a problem.
Yes. But
I'm sorry.
The question?
Yeah. Supposing that you have the sensation that you feel like your chest is really tight, what would you do? Just kind of like, oh, my chest is tight, and just keep going on and doing whatever you were doing.
Right. That's a perfect example. Okay. It feels like my chest is really tight. Feel. Pay attention to every time that thought pops up, because feel is the big F word when it comes to anxiety. Because we fight how we feel, right? It feels like my chest is really tight. And the response is, okay, yeah, it does. But what that must mean something more to you than it does to somebody else who doesn't care about that, might care about something else, right? So
right.
So what, that your chest is really tight? What about that? What does that mean? What's the worst-case scenario for you?
Yeah, I can't breathe.
You can't breathe, or you feel like you can't breathe?
I can't breathe. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, again, it's okay, nodding. Because how you feel right now, honestly, is how you feel right now. And I know this probably is backwards than anything anybody's ever told you, like, in the midst of it, to feel better. Right? Like, no, you're okay. You're fine. See, everything's fine. You've been to 25 cardiologists, and you bought them all yachts, and everything's okay. You know, like, usually it's like a reassurance sort of thing. This,
yeah.
Again, it seems backwards, but it's opposite. So it's like, oh, my chest is feeling really tight. Yep, it's feeling really tight. Huh. Like, oh, well, it's just a feeling. That's diffused. Accept and allow is a nod, and yep, that's right. It's feeling really tight. Run towards. The step everybody wants to skip. Everybody wants to D-A-E and not R. it's like, okay, well, I guess it could feel tighter. I wonder if I can get it to feel tighter. But these are all feelings I don't like, so they all get a nod, and then I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go take this sensation with me, and I'm going to bring this chest tightness with me to the grocery store or to work, or I'm going to go cook dinner with this feeling. not to distract myself, not to get rid of it, but give it a nod and say, yeah, that's right. And if the what ifs come up, what if I can't breathe? Or I'm guessing if it has to do with your chest and tightness, it usually is, what if I stop breathing and I pass out? What if I have a heart attack? What if I die? What if I, you know, like I'm guessing that something similar things tied in?
Yes, and also probably feelings behind the anxiety. Like, am I angry? Am I upset?
Yeah, trying to play research analyst, right? Trying to figure it all out.
Right.
Right, yeah. I said we all have put our last post on. We jump on Google and we start, like, figuring out, like, okay, what's the right thing to do? When do I diffuse? When do I allow? You're doing a lot of, like, it's on a release. This is learning how to let go. So I have a lot of people that are working really hard to do nothing. So it's like, yeah, that's right. My chest is really tight. Like, let's see if I can play around with it. Again, something you would not normally think to do, but because it's so opposite, it's not the chest tightness. It's your perception of it and your fight of the idea of it. So if it's, what if I have a heart attack? And every sentence, every little conversation like that can be said the same way. If somebody says to me, what if I have a heart attack? Let's just say, that's just an example. What if I have a heart attack? The answer is, oh, of what if I have a heart attack, then you'll have had a heart attack, right? I mean, that's, what if I have a heart attack? I have a heart attack. What if I wear a red shirt tomorrow means, well, then you'll wear a red shirt tomorrow, right? So so usually then the person will say back to me, they would say, but I don't want to have a heart attack, right? Like, replace it with whatever else your thing is on the call. Like, you know, there's 20 people on the call. Replace heart attack with, you know, intrusive thought about doing something or a social situation. What if I embarrass myself in front of people? Well, then you'll embarrass yourself in front of people. I don't want that to happen. My response is, right. Nobody wants those things to happen. Nobody wants a heart attack. But you're not having a heart attack right now. You're fighting the idea of having a heart attack. Right? It's like a virtual reality game. You're fighting in those video games as if you really are in the middle of a war, and your body acts accordingly. So that's why, like, the nod and the shrug and saying, like, yeah, that's right, my chest is really tight. Wow, look what I can do with this sensation. And you bring it with you. That probably will take practice, but it's the opposite of, I'm guessing, what everybody's been doing up till now.
Thank you.
What about a panic attack in a car, and you're in the middle of a panic attack, and you're driving?
Mm-hmm.
I know
Okay. You're
supposed to demand more, but you feel paralyzed.
Right. You say that again? What was the last sentence?
Paralyzed.
No, you missed a word.
Locked up. Feel.
You feel paralyzed,
yeah.
Right? You see what we do?
Yeah.
And it's like, amazing. Like, I know people think, like, oh, we're all different. Or I had somebody come on, they're like, oh, I have blah, blah, blah phobia. I have blah, blah, blah phobia. I'm like, I go, you should know what that is, Michelle. You're the expert. I'm like, I don't know what the hell that is. What's that? And it was like the fear of earthquake. I'm like, oh, okay. So I quickly go on Google. I'm like, what makes you any different than this person with blah, blah phobia? She goes, well, what's that? I'm like, that's the fear of tornadoes. Like, it's all bullshit. It really is. It's just you fighting the idea of something else. So somebody else might say, God, I had somebody on our last group call on Dare Advance saying, man, I wish I could just have a panic attack. Like, to me, like, if I could just have a panic attack, it's such a nice release. Oh, but it's this generalized anxiety that really gets me. And then, you know, I'll have somebody else come on and say, oh, are you kidding me? I'd rather have generalized anxiety all day long than a panic attack. And in a car? Not in a car, because what if, right? What if I feel paralyzed? I feel paralyzed, and I can't move, and I freak out, and I crash the car, and I kill myself, or I kill somebody, right? Worst case scenario. Is that, I'm guessing, what you're thinking?
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's shitty thing to happen. Nobody wants that to happen, right? So anybody on the call who driving isn't their thing, but they actually like that idea? Right? So what happens is you're just having an idea you don't like, and you're having feelings you don't like. And I'm not trying to belittle how you feel, but that's what you want to start talking to yourself. Because we start feeling this feeling, and we basically hit that oh shit button, and we're fighting that feeling as if it's real danger, as if a truck is coming towards you. Your body is reacting in the same exact way. Right? So you're driving.
Yeah.
So when you get in the car like the hunter. This time you're going to go hunt for that alarm. Hunt for that alarm to ring. And I also try and mention on every call, I had somebody come on years ago, and he still pops on now and then. And he's like, you know, because once it really started clicking, I started getting it, I realized, he's like, I don't even call it a panic attack anymore. He's like, something's attacking me. Because all this time I've been trying to beat this thing and control this and find the right way to breathe. It's just an overreaction to an adrenaline rush. It's like, that's honestly all this is. So, and that's why I'm saying this, to preface what I'm going to say next. So if you get in a car and you have an adrenaline rush, you will feel uncomfortable while you are driving. That's kind of like how to start talking to yourself a little bit differently about it. Is that something you could start with?
Yes, I'd love to start with that.
Good. Okay, so when you get in the car, even when you're getting your keys and you're still in your house, say, hey, alarm, where are you? You going to ring? Where's that feeling? It might come, it might not, right? If it doesn't, then you just get to drive comfortably, which is fine. That's nice. Good for you. You're comfortable. If it's uncomfortable, that's actually practice to kind of show your alarm that, yes, I hear you ringing and screaming and telling me to run and do something. Thank you so much. I'm nodding that I totally hear you. I hear you loud and clear. But I'm showing you what I'm going to do in response to that. There is no fire. There are no killer bees flying in my car. If there are, if bees were to fly in my car, like I have other people say, what if I had to stop my car and get out in the middle of traffic? I have to stop the car and get out. Well, then if you had to stop your car and get out, if you had to, you would stop your car and get out, right? Again, if your car burst into flames, you would stop. You wouldn't dare through that. That's nonsense. Say, oh, I accept and allow. My car is on fire. You say, oh, my gosh, my car is on fire. Stop the car. You get out of the car. But you see, we're fighting the idea of that happening when it's not happening. And that creates this weird little paradox of us fighting a future problem in the present. It's like a weird, weird matrix, you know? So go out looking for those sensations so you can take them for a drive. And you get to say,
okay, that makes sense, because I'll hunt for them in the future.
Okay, good.
Because I feel like I was recovered and I wasn't even thinking about it, and it just happened.
And that's okay, too. That's fine, too. Remember, it's not like eliminating, like, your cancer has gone into remission and now it's back. And I'm back to square one. I have to go through this all over again. Sometimes our alarm gets a little screwy. Like for example, if let's say we got a really bad flu, we got really sick, and it was, we were in bed, we got the aches and the chills, and then afterwards, we say, you know what, I'm going to work, change my lifestyle. I'm going to live a healthier lifestyle. Exercise, take my vitamins, I'm going to wash my hands, I'm going to eat healthy. And you do switch up your lifestyle, but guess what? At some point, you're going to get sick, right? You're going to catch a cold. Nobody calls it a health setback, right? It's like, oh, I get sick. Sometimes my digestive system gets messed up. Sometimes all my other systems get messed up. That's not a digestive system setback. It's, I had too many tacos on Taco Tuesday or whatever. So you fought a situation that wasn't real danger. Oh, well, now you kind of just want to have it on your radar so that you can kind of go out and bring your alarm with you. Kind of like like a little scared little kid, you bring it with you and say, look, I'm going to show you. I'm not going to convince you to shut up and be quiet. I'm going to show you that even if you yell and ring and scream, that I'm still choosing to just drive. Not to get rid of you, but by showing you that this is safe.
Very helpful. Thank you.
I have a question. I'm sorry.
Yes? No, go ahead.
Sorry. So what if you're afraid sometimes that, your fear or intense and anxiety can trigger neurologic symptoms, let's say fainting or a seizure?
Mm-hmm.
I get these thoughts sometimes. So how do you handle this? Sometimes the anxiety gets built up to the point where you're afraid of having like neurologic symptoms.
Okay. So you're fighting the idea of that. So does that happen?
Yes.
Do you pass out regularly?
Yes. It, like, yeah, because I know, we know, like, nervous system is very, it's tied to thinking, too, you know? So that one thing I always try to always overcome is this idea of, what if I experience neurologic symptoms because I'm thinking about them?
Right.
But does that happen?
So it's the same thing. It's just the fight of another, pick another part of your body, and that's what you're fighting, right? Or somebody else might be fighting their heart, you're fighting. Oh, but what if, like, this was the person before was, well, what if something, oh, I'm having chest tightness. What if something happens to my heart? And you're like, oh, forget your heart. What if something happens to me neurologically? What if something happens to my brain? And somebody's like, what if? So what ifs are just the fight of the idea of something you don't like. It's just an idea of something you don't like. So it's the same response, even though it seems like totally different on the surface level, like, it's always the same thing. That gets a nod and a shrug. Well, if I pass out, I pass out. All right. Well, what if I pass out? Well, then you'll pass out. I don't want to pass out. Yeah, nobody wants to pass out. But right now you're fighting the idea of it. So you want to, like, give those thoughts a nod and say, honestly, if that does happen, we will definitely deal with it in the moment. But I can't fight passing out if I'm not passing out. That's where that weird paradox lives. Kind of like, picture like a firefighter standing, that you walk past and there's a firefighter outside. All the water hose full on this building, and you're just like, what are you doing? There's no fire. The firefighter says, yeah, but what if it catches fire tomorrow? I want to be prepared for it. You know? Or, oh, the lady in that apartment, she smokes, and this one leaves her oven on, so just in case, I will just constantly pour water on this apartment all day long for the rest of my life. And, like, that sounds silly, but I think some of you might feel like that's kind of what you're kind of like surviving all day. Like, if you feel like you are constantly in survival mode and constantly doing things because of how you feel or making accommodations to anxiety, and I can't do this because of my alarm. Well, you're just kind of telling your alarm that all these scenarios actually are dangerous when they really aren't. You can have thoughts of danger, right? If you're fighting the idea of danger, you're still just fighting an idea. So it doesn't matter what the thoughts are. It's the fight of the thought. And it doesn't matter what part of your body they're associated with. It's still the fight of the idea of something. And I know there's some people on with social anxiety, and I didn't speak directly about that, but can you see how it's kind of the same thing? What if I get tongue-tied, or I blush, or I embarrass myself, or I trip over my words, or everybody's looking at me, or they think X, Y, and Z of me, or I make a fool out of myself? It's the fight of those ideas. Does everybody see? I just want to make sure everybody sees how it can tie into them personally so that you see, like, it actually, even though I'm speaking in general terms, it's actually related to everybody on the call.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes,
yeah.
I see it. Okay.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
I don't know whether it's stress or thyroid or blah blah blah, but I'm waking up with heart palpitations,
mm-hmm.
and I'm doing pretty well at just being like, okay, they're here, whatever. But what do you do with, like, will that type of anxiety, which maybe Barry has called like first flash, will that kind of subside in its own time, or like do I just put up with it?
Put up with it sounds more like you're kind of hanging on and tolerating it and waiting for it to go away, right?
I'm
a real pain in the butt when it comes to words.
Yeah,
I know when people are on the call a lot.
I don't want it there.
Oh, right, of course.
I'm frustrated.
And so give that a nod, too. Say, yeah, you're right. Nod. Like, you don't have to convince yourself of anything anymore. Like, convince yourself everything's fine. It's okay. You can nod and say, yeah, I hate this. Sucks. I don't like this feeling.
Yeah.
And, like, give it a nod. But then if you're having heart palpitations, you're having heart palpitations. but you're going to have them tomorrow morning. If you're going to have them every morning, then expect to have them tomorrow morning too, but expect it in a different way. Like, hey, where are you? Where are you? Oh, yep, there they are. Okay, yep, okay.
So again, let's you're the hunter. Them.
Yes. Let's, arms wide open. Let's play with them. If I'm already, if my heart rate's already up, well, then maybe I'll get my exercise in. I'll exercise in the morning.
Yeah.
My heart rate's already up. I'll get my exercise in. I'll turn over and have sex with my partner. I'll do all these other things that makes my heart rate go up when I actually like it, right?
Yeah.
So right now, because we have expectations on how things should be, right? You should wake up in a peaceful state, and there's no reason for your heart to be pounding, right?
Yeah.
So when it is, it's, oh, that shouldn't be like that. I should, I should be, my heart rate should be here and not here. I better do something about this because I hate this.
Yeah, and now I'm in a loop of like everything that I'm, all my death steps, I'm doing it to make myself feel calm and relaxed again. Like I'm eating and hope, and then I'm checking in to see if like that's make it, made me feel calmer.
Right. So, yeah, so then just go do the opposite of all of that.
Okay.
But don't be frustrated because it's such a backwards thing. That's why it takes practice, because it's against your natural reaction. That's why, like, they teach you stop, drop, and roll when you're kids, right? Like, if your clothes catch fire, right? They stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll.
I never got taught that.
What? Oh, we've got to teach
you
that.
They don't do that in England.
Get out. What do you do in England? Just run around and scream?
Jump in a pond.
Oh, we don't. You have more ponds than we do.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you for answering my question.
Here, we're taught stop, drop, and roll because you have to smother the flame. Because our natural reaction, if your arm is on fire, is to go, ah, my arm's on fire, and you flare it all around, right? Which adds more oxygen, which makes the fire bigger. That's a natural reaction. Kind of like getting stuck in quicksand, right? The more you fight to get out, the more stuck you get. You have to just let go. And that's pretty much where everybody's stuck trying. Everybody's fighting something uncomfortable. Everybody signed up for discomfort, but anxiety is in the fight of what you think you signed up for to get rid of.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Kind of.
So it's like, oh, I need to get rid of these heart palpitations. Oh, I have anxiety about heart palpitations. Okay, no, well, you're fighting heart palpitations, and anxiety lives in the fight. So tomorrow, get
okay,
up.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of look for them. That's your treadmill of the day. That's your gym machine. So you kind of like, every time you notice a heart palpitation, yes, okay, here it is. Here's my chance to practice just feeling something I'm already feeling without fighting it.
Okay. And with the people that you've seen succeed and, transform, like, what's been, like, what's their click moments? Like, how does that switch over happen? So you stop fighting.
Yeah, you know, and I'll hear people come on, and I'll hear them on a call, I'll hear them on another call, they hear me say the same words, and then one day they come on a call, and it sounds completely different. Anybody on the call who has been on my calls before, hear that before or experience that before, and like they'll say the same words but in a different way. And I'm like, I know it just clicked. I'm like, okay, quick, tell me, I know it clicked. What happened? Like, because I know, like, because these calls are recorded, so people that are part of this program can go back and listen to the recorded calls. And I'll say, tell me so that, like, maybe somebody else can hear. And it's always the same thing. They're like, I don't know, I just let go. I don't know, I just stopped fighting. And it really, it usually tends to happen after the fact. Like, people are trying to get all these tools and then go out and do things. But the expectation of, like, doing it more comfortably, you kind of actually have to go out. It works the opposite way. Like, go out and get uncomfortable, and then it clicks afterwards where you look back and you're like, oh, my gosh, I did it. Like, this wave will keep coming, but like, you kind of have to learn how to ride it a little differently. And once you start riding it differently, it's not about controlling the waves, like the ocean. You can't control the ocean. But, like, I have a lot of people that plant their feet in the sand, and they stand there, and they're just getting hit by these waves over and over and over again. Everybody else is falling down, but everybody on this call is just sitting there, and boom, like surviving each wave, right? Strong.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to get knocked down, but you're freaking tired, right?
Everybody's
exhausted by the end of the day by just getting through this day. But really, like, the ocean. I can't control the ocean. Sometimes it's more rough than others. But I can go, like, the opposite. I'm going to go further out into the waves. I'm going to go all the way into the ocean. And if I just, like, lay back, put my arms out, and just not fight, I'll float. And I'll float through the waves. I can't control the waves, but I can change how I ride them. And it's learning how to not tolerate, but nod and just float through them. Yes, right now I don't like how I feel, and I'm not expecting to like how I feel. So I'm just learning how to practice not fighting that. And then as a result, honestly, the goal of all of this is irrelevant. Learning how to allow something to become irrelevant. And the more you pin it to your radar, oh, this exit is okay, but this exit is bad. Here's the exit, here's the exit, here's the exit, here's the exit, right? We've made those things relevant. So what we want to do is start letting our alarms ring and nod, and it's okay that it rings. It's irrelevant. I don't need to do anything about discomfort anymore. And the more you just sort of allow things to be there, the more it just sort of fades into the background. Things, people start to feel better when they truly stop trying to feel better.
Mm. Yeah.
Does that pertain to the adrenaline rush?
The what? The adrenaline rush?
Yes. Don't fight the adrenaline.
Right. Exactly. And then there's a good chance that the less you fight it while you're experiencing it, the less over time you're allowed to say, well, like, we thought there used to be fire here, but now he's just sitting there. Like, he even hears us. He nodded at us. He said, like, send us more adrenaline. I guess there's no fire. Like, it's hard to kind of, like, accept and nod at something and fight for your life at the same time, you know? And pay attention to your physical response also. Like, I have an audio out there called Ghost Spaghetti, which is like the dumbest thing I said on one group call, but it kind of stuck with everybody. So Barry's like, oh, I'll make a recording for that one. So, again, I have three kids, and anybody who has kids, I'm sure, has experienced this or has seen them out in the mall or in the park. You know, when, like, it's the end of the day or you're usually, like, around the holiday time and your kids are just done. Like, they crumple to the floor and you try and stand them up. And, like, they act like they have no bones left in their body. Ever experienced that? Like, their toes curl. You're trying to stand them up, and they're, like, jelly legs, like, I can't walk anymore. And they fall into a little pile. So I'd call that, like, they just sort of, like, ghost spaghetti. And that's when you're saying, yeah, all right, I accept and allow. But if you're, like, tensed up really tight and hard and saying, accept and allow, these anxious thoughts, I accept and allow, you're physically fighting. So it's like your body, go limp too. Like, you want to show your alarm, like, no fight. I hate it. I am really uncomfortable, and I'm really scared. But for 2 minutes or for 2 seconds or for 10 minutes, you pick, whatever, I'm just going to sit here, and I'm just going to feel what I'm feeling. And whatever thought that pops up in my head, I'm just going to nod at that thought too. And then I'm going to, you know, practice doing that. Like, practice. You can practice as soon as you get off the phone. You can practice right now. If anybody finds something in their body right now, find something they don't like, find it. Give it a nod. And just let it be there and then re-engage that life. That's just kind of how it goes. And then your alarm will stop sending you so much adrenaline if you're not acting as if you're in the middle of war all day long. You know, every step you take, you're like, oh, there's a problem around this corner. Oh, there's a problem around this corner. Okay, what about this? Oh, I can't sit on this seat on the bus. What if I sit on this seat on the bus? Oh, I forgot my dusty old Xanax from the late 90s. Oh, no, it's going to be like, right? All or nothing. We're constantly in survival mode. Our alarm will constantly be in high alert mode. So we can't change our alarm, but we can start changing our response. And as a byproduct, over time, your alarm will start to wind down too. Adrenaline will still feel like adrenaline, but it won't be ringing as much anymore. And if it does, it'll still be uncomfortable, but we won't be fighting that discomfort.
I have a question.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, sure. Yes. Two people have a question?
Me.
Yeah, I have a question.
So my biggest fear is a panic attack. I understand it's what if, but there's something that happened before. So that's why I'm so terrified of having another panic attack. It doesn't matter where. It could be in my home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest fear, that I can't control this thoughts of thinking that I'm going to have a panic attack.
Right. Okay. So did that help? And we were saying, you know, well, what if I have a panic attack? And when you really describe, like, what is a panic attack? Like, be specific. When you go out, like after today, we hang up the call, say, you mean a panic attack? You mean if I have a rush of adrenaline? Okay. Well, what about it? It's uncomfortable? Yep, it's uncomfortable. Okay, if I have one, then I have one. Right? So anxiety loves the past. It loves the future. Right? Everybody notice that? Goes back to memories of things that happened before that we didn't like, and it projects it into the what-ifs of the next time. Well, last time I went to a concert, I freaked out. Oh, I can't go to another concert because what if? What if I have another panic attack? And we make all these accommodations because what's really happening is it's a rush of adrenaline to help us fight real danger. But because we're fighting the idea of our own alarm, now it sends this kind of mixed up message to our alarm that a panic attack is danger when it's not. It's just energy. So I would keep that mindset like the hunter, like a nod and say, yeah, well, I might have one. I might have one here. I mean, it's my body. I can have one anywhere. But I'm not living my life in case I don't have one anymore, because that's kind of going to set the scene to have one. Say, well, if I have one, I have one. I couldn't make sure I didn't have one the last time I had one, right? So it's like taking that mindset. Again, it's the opposite of what you think, but it's about the fight of that idea. Fill in the blank, like, of whatever that idea is. What if I pass out? What if I have a panic attack? What if I have a thought I don't like? What if I embarrass myself? It's still a what if. That just happens to be the thing you don't want to happen. So you give it a nod, and you engage in life. And say, you know what, whatever happens, I can only deal with what happens in the present. And if I'm having a panic attack right now, I'm going to be specific. What do you mean a panic attack? Something's attacking me. What am I feeling? Oh, my heart is racing. Okay, that gets a nod. Yep, you're right. My heart is racing. I guess it's racing. Anything else? Oh, I feel like I just need to escape. Escape from where? There's no bees. Like, again, bees? No bees. Bees? Escape. There's no danger, well, then I just don't like how I feel right now. And I promise you, it's so empowering. Like, it's not about control anymore. We're living as if we're trying to control it all. But when you let go of trying to micromanage your body and, like, the world around you, like, changing everything to happen, it's you have this power, this freedom to be like, yeah, you know what? That would suck. But if it happens, we will absolutely deal with it then, just like I dealt with it last time. But I am going to the store. I am doing the things that I'm choosing to do. And if I have a panic attack, I have a panic attack with my shoulders shrugged, because I'm shrugging at the idea of something happening that I don't like.
Yeah, thank you.
It might not all click on this very first call of your very first day of this first set of challenges, but I'm only saying all of this so that you can keep it in mind as, like, day goes by. Oh, somebody's ringing. I want you to do it with that mindset. It's in the fight, not in the discomfort. So this is your very first day. So keep it trying. That's why I'd like to do this call, because the first call, I talk a whole lot. The last call of Dare Challenges, which will be Friday, I'm not going to talk much at all. And the call will be run by you, basically. And for you to share, like, what you've learned. And it's not even so much how you feel. It's like, okay, I felt this, and then this was my response. And you'll see, the more you really kind of post, talk about it, like, blow up that Facebook page. Suzanne wrote on there, like, the more you share, like, the quicker progress you made. It's true. You paid for it, so get your money's worth. Post pictures, post like, you know, like your own challenges. Like, here I am feeling X, Y, and Z, but this is what I'm doing with those sensations. That's what's empowering. So just keep that, just to keep that mindset. Don't think everything's going to be perfection today because, like, it makes sense and you know, but, like, it takes time to kind of, like, put it into practice. Like, I can teach you how to swim on a phone call. I can tell you how it works, and you can get all the books out of the library on how to swim and Google how to swim and download a swim app, but the second you jump in the water, you're going to sink like a rock because you haven't taught your body how to swim yet, you know? So it's like you're going to have all this information, and now it's just kind of like taking that information and like putting it into practice over and over again, like kind of muscle memory. You're going to have to go out there and do it over and over again as a new response. Right? Did one more person have a question?
Michelle, it's Colleen.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to let everybody know I'm actually on my third year of DARE, so and I joined this because I've been having some health problems, and they really set me into some hiccups of some anxiety. It is a huge process, like Michelle was saying, and it does take time. So, but it works so well. Like, for the gentleman who was speaking about, like, passing out and being so afraid that he was going to pass out, that's my, like, one of my biggest triggers. And what has helped me so much is immediately I just diffuse it. And then when my heart starts to beat, I know that I'm not going to pass out because, like, when your heart beats, and Barry speaks of this, like you're getting so much oxygen to your, you know, your brain, and it's going through your body that you're not going to pass out. Like Michelle said, we would not have made it as a race. We would all be like passed out on the ground if there was like a tiger. So I believe that wholeheartedly. Like even yesterday I was at my son's football game and my heart started to beat and I felt really dizzy. And I was just like, oh, well, there it goes. I'm so thankful that my heart is beating because I know I'm not going to pass out. So I guess like that's the kind of stuff like I just really I know it sounds kind of paradoxical, but the more that we like welcome this and we sit in the discomfort, the more that it does work so well. And Michelle, thank you for everything.
Oh, thank you, Colleen, for coming on. And it doesn't mean it is that you haven't had a hard time understanding it for 3 years, and everybody who started now has 3 years to do. It's not like that, you know. It's like,
No.
It's just like
it's very easy concept. It's just sometimes we get caught up, and there's something that happens, and then you need a refresher in life, and that's kind of what I'm doing. But
right.
I mean, like it was amazing. Like for years, I was able to really get through, and I overcame so much, like driving, going over bridges. Tonight I'm starting college. I work full time, but I'm going to school tonight, and I'm a little nervous.
Congratulations.
I haven't been in college for. Thank you. I haven't been in college for 20 years, and and I'm going back to take up classes, and I thought this would be a great time to do this challenge because I'm getting that fear of, like, being trapped in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just like, all right, there's no bees. Like, so what? There's no bees chasing me. I'm safe in a seat. Okay. Like, whatever. And I think that's the immediate response that we just have to keep, you know, telling ourselves, like, we're safe, we're not in trouble, and there's no bees.
Right, and that's just what we do because you're not even in the classroom yet. Your class is tonight.
No,
right?
I know.
But like,
I know.
What if
right.
I feel like I'm trapped in the classroom? Because one time, a long time ago, I felt like I was trapped in the classroom. Right in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if I feel that way? And immediately we go, we try and push it away. Oh, I better sit by the door.
Right.
I better have this seat or sit by the window so I can feel the air, and I better bring my water so I can take a drink so I don't pass out. You know, like we have all our little, like, it's like the old ladies at bingo with all their little trolls and little wishnicks and all that. Like, keep it all at bay. And it's like, you know,
that's
what?
Funny because I already have me sitting by the door, but I should probably sit, like, not by the door to challenge myself.
Well, even the same thing. It's not like I never care what people do. I care about, like, why people do what they do. You know, so it's like,
mm-hmm.
Does meditation work? Depends why you're meditating. Like, if you're meditating to get it all, to get rid of everything, then that's not meditation. Meditation is learning to just sit and be with what you're experiencing. So say, all right, you know what, I'm going to sit by the door, and if I choose to leave, I choose to leave. But if I feel like I have to leave right now, well, that's just how I feel, and that's wrong. because I don't have to leave right now. But, okay, alarm, mm-hmm. I'll get up and I'll leave for a minute, but I'm going to leave in 3 minutes. And for the next 3 minutes, I'm just going to sit here. Now, I don't have to like how I feel, and I'm just going to nod and sit and not like how I feel. If I choose to leave, I choose to leave, but I don't have to leave. Like black and white, we make it so important. Oh, I'm going to hang on. I can't hang on anymore. I got to go. No, opposite of that. Say, all right, I can leave. I can come back. Like, I don't have to hang on. If I find myself hanging on really tight, I'm just going to let go. I don't have to feel comfortable in class. I'm just going to class. If I don't like how I feel in class, I don't know. Then I guess I don't like how I feel in class. I'm going to nod and accept that, too. And then I always get to choose what I do in response to it, always in the present. So, yeah, it's like a change in a mindset.
Thank you. You'll see
it goes way beyond anxiety. Like, once this course is done, you'll see, like, wow, I kind of do the same thing at work. I kind of, like, all or nothing at work. Like, do or die. Like, same approach with, like, my family and relationships. I like trying to control what other people do and think. And, like it's really just kind of learning how to let go, allow discomfort. Again, you don't have to like it, but it's learning how to not fight it. All right, so everybody, everybody came on the call. I'm glad this worked because I was in Canada and was a little worried I wasn't going to get a good connection. But apparently people have phones in Canada. We were just in a place that I wasn't sure about the Wi-Fi, honestly. So I gave you a lot of information. You can go back and listen to this call. It should be posted in like a day or maybe even by the end of today. And like just... it's learning how to go at it with this mindset. So every time you feel uncomfortable, it's more like, oh, yes, here's that thing. Not, oh, shoot, there's that thing again. I'm doing this wrong. Oh, shoot, I woke up again with heart palpitations. When is this ever going to go away? More like, oh.
And where will it be posted?
You should get an email with a link.
Okay.
And it would be
All right,
posted
great.
On the site. All right?
Okay, thank you. Okay.
And Suzanne will probably post it as well, or John would post it in the Facebook group too. And post away. All right, this was my challenge, and here I am. And, like, if you're uncomfortable posting, if you don't want to post your picture for some reason, you don't have to. But, like, even just, like, post a picture of your dish at lunch where you're like, oh, my gosh, I haven't been out to eat in 3 years, and here I am in a restaurant, and I am uncomfortable. But that's why I'm here, to float through it, to sit with it, to show, like, this little kid version of me that's so scared. Like, you can be scared. But we're still going to sit here because it's not dangerous. So this will be like a great practice week. But I just wanted to make sure I say all of this on the first call so you're practicing the right way. You're not using DARE to get rid of heart palpitations. You're using DARE to let go of the fight of the idea of heart palpitations and whatever fill in the blank of heart palpitations is something else. So does that click with everybody? Does this make sense?
Yes,
thank you so much.
Oh, good. Great. Okay, so then our next call, which will be like our wrap-up call, will be Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern time. So pay attention to your little links, listen to the audios, post on Facebook, and truly, honestly, just go out and live your life. I'll leave you with this. Like some people say, like, what can I do to challenge myself? Like, picture what you would be doing differently throughout the day and throughout the week if you've never even heard of the word anxiety. Like, what would you be doing differently? Would you be eating something different or taking a different route to work or going out with friends or like, whatever would be a little bit different? Not how would you feel, but what would you do? So go do those things. Just go do those things. There's a good chance your alarm will ring while you're doing those things because you purposely stopped doing those things, right, for a reason. So now you want to show your alarm, I can do whatever the hell I want to do. So there will be times I don't like how I feel. Turns out that's irrelevant. I don't have to like how I feel. And I can hate it all I want. But I'm not living my life around how I feel anymore. I'm just going to go live my life. And when you find yourself kind of stuck, like good old Nike, their little slogan works every time. Just do it. Just show up. Like, oh, what about driving? Should I do this? Just do it. Just walk into the classroom. Just go sit down. Just take out your notebook. Just write notes. You know, just get in the car and just drive. Oh, what if I don't like how I feel? Well, then you won't like how you feel. Then you'll be driving and not liking how you feel. What if I have to get out of the car? Well, if you have to get out of the car, you'll get out of the car. If you don't like how you feel, you'll just be driving and not liking how you feel. See? It's kind of like it just speaking about it all in just a slightly different way, and it changes the whole feel of what's actually happening. All right?
All right.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
Thanks
so
much.
Keep us posted. Post away on Facebook. And the more you write, again,
right,
the more we can see where you're fighting and where you're doing well and where things are clicking. So Susanna's really great at, like, you know, posting support. And I'll pop on here and there when I get home, and I'll add a few things as well. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody.
Yeah. Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Thanks. Bye. Good luck,
Bye.
Everyone.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Bye. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.
Thank you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.